not real good at technology. The year I graduated, the year after I graduated from high school is when they brought in computers. Yeah, I like to say that my first tablet came with a hammer and a chisel. So, let me pray. So Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you for this congregation this morning, Lord God. It's not by accident or coincidence, Lord God, that you have the people here this morning, Lord God. Because of you and your hand and your movement, Lord God, they're at the right place at the right time, Lord God. Open our hearts, open our ears, Lord God. Help us to hear, Lord God. I lift up to you myself, Lord God. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Saved by your grace, saved by the work of Jesus Christ, Lord God. So use me, speak to me, Lord God. Holy Spirit, take control of me. Take control of my message. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You know, as I was sitting here in the second row, I was really getting fired up. I love the way the Holy Spirit has already showed up this morning. You know, I'm just getting confirmation from Mark's songs, from Michelle's scripture from 1 Thessalonians. I'm like, you know, that's God at work. I see him moving even though I don't see him moving. Does that make sense? I think Jesus said we can see the evidence of the Holy Spirit even if we don't see him. So, yeah. I just wanted to share that with you. I am fired up. Yeah. So we are in a series called Living Proof. And this is the evidence of a spirit-led life. I feel like this thing is slipping. Is my voice going in and out? Maybe I should just switch to the handheld. Let me do that. I do not want to be. Hello, hello. Is that good? Very good, very good, very good. So yeah, we began this series on the fruit of the Spirit, which began back in June. I think it was June the 1st when Pastor Ray preached us a message on love. One of the characteristics or one of the marks, one of the evidence of a Spirit-led life is we will reflect God's love. And that's who he is, right? There are so many attributes, so many characteristics that talked about in the Bible about who God is. Moses and the nation of Israel, they thought about him as the God who is. Remember, he spoke to Moses and said, I am who I am. He has lots of facets to his characteristics, to his character. And tonight, or today, this morning, I'm going to focus on his character of gentleness. And let me get back to Pastor Ray. He spoke to us on June the 1st, and he talked about how, sorry, I lost my place, switching microphones. Let me begin again. So we're in a series called Living Proof, a series on the fruit of the Spirit, which began back in June. And I've been enjoying this series. I hope you have too. And if you're here joining us for the first time, that's okay too. You guys look like a smart bunch of people. Has anyone ever had this experience of walking in on the middle of a movie? Yeah? All right. And as you walk in the middle of a movie, what do? We look and say, okay, that's the good guy. That's the bad guy. Right? That's what's going on. That's the plot twist. All right, I'm all caught up. Just like that, even if today's your first time, you can catch right up with us. We're talking about the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right. Now that we're all caught up, let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit as found in Galatians chapter 5. And as I said, Pastor Ray kicked off this series in June, on June the 1st. And one of the initial points he made, and I want to remind us of that, he said that we don't produce this fruit by trying harder. We don't get this by straining and striving. This is the work and the evidence of a life led by, yielded to the Holy Spirit. After all, let's think about this. Does an apple tree stress and strain to produce apples? No. It happens naturally, right? Well, that happens with us as well. So as I began to think and pray about this message, I recalled Jason's message on patience. Jason is the man who just came and helped me with the microphone. Jason talked about how he looks like and sounds just like his dad, Al. Right? And he even told a story about how his home phone rang one day, and he said, "Hello?" And the man at the other end of the phone said, "Hey, Al, I'm so glad you picked up because I want to talk about this, that, and the other." And Jason had to say, "Oh, excuse me. I think you want my dad. This is Jason." And he went, "Dad?" Or he probably said, "Dad." Anyway, that's natural. That's normal, right? And I have a story like that all of my own. Again, we're talking about fruit of the Holy Spirit. Evidence of time spent with him, being with him, and how things happen naturally. About 15 years ago, I rented an apartment from my mother. She had a, Barb remembers my mother, right? Yeah. We go a long way back, don't we, Barb?
Yes, we do.
Anyway, about 15 years ago, I was renting an apartment from her. She had a two flat in the Belmont Cragen neighborhood. And we were close, and often we'd share meals together. And I remember one random day, I was working night shift at that time, and I brought down some lunch, and we shared it together. And I don't remember what we talked about, but I do remember at the end of that conversation, the end of that meal, she looked at me, she says, "Your father used to do that." I'm like, "What?" She said he would ball up his napkin at the end of every meal. And sure enough, I looked in my hand, and there was my napkin, all balled up. And it was amazing to me. I thought about that later. I'm like, you know what? My father passed away in 1979. That was almost 50 years ago. I had no recent example to follow. Why did I do that? Naturally. Just what he did, I did. And just like I received something naturally from my heavenly, from my earthly father, we can receive something supernaturally from our heavenly father. Or, as in this case in the book of Galatians, from the Holy Spirit. And what are we talking about receiving? It's a gift. And that gift is called the fruit of the Spirit. And when we think about a gift, again, it's a supernatural gift. We don't want to think about a natural gift, a physical gift. Is it wrapped up in wrapping paper, pretty paper? No. Does it come in a gift bag? No. Again, it's a supernatural gift. It's not something that can be held, touched, or measured, not in the traditional sense, right? But it is, however, evident. Remember how I said that we can recognize the Holy Spirit if we don't see him? But we can recognize his work. It is evident. It is sensed. It's the natural evidence of spending time with God. It's developed by being in his presence. And let me begin to bring this closer into focus. So I want to tell you, this is a result of a man's work named David Gusich. I love to go to this website called the Blue Letter Bible. I've been using it for years. And I don't know why they call it the Blue Letter Bible, but they do. And they have different authors and theologians contribute there. They're called commentaries. And David Gusich talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and he describes it this way. Tell me if this rings true. Not along with me. Speak to me. He says, this fruit is attractive. Yeah? It draws in people. Would you agree? Good fruit draws in people. This fruit is nourishing. Just like physical fruit, it brings life and refreshment. Do you agree? Yeah. This fruit reproduces itself. Isn't that just like natural fruit? What happens when we slice an orange in half? What do we see on the inside? Seeds. How about an apple? How about a lemon, right? Naturally, this fruit reproduces itself. And here's something that was a little bit of a surprise, but I believe it's true. This fruit is fragile. Fruit is fragile. I just brought home some peaches yesterday. Man, I was looking over those peaches, looking for bruises. Fruit is fragile. Did you know that's biblical? 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says we can grieve the Holy Spirit. I don't think we can lose the Holy Spirit, but the Bible says we can definitely grieve him. Through our life, we can, what does it mean to grieve? Sadden, right? If I don't invite him in, he can sit back there and he's a gentleman. But I can really grieve him if I participate in sin regularly. And I have. But God is good. God is good. He brings me back. And the last point that David Gusich made was this fruit isn't achieved by working, but it's birthed by abiding. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, yeah. Let's look together at Scripture. Jesus spoke about this in the Gospel of John, 15th chapter, 4th verse. He said it like this, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in me, the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So again, this isn't produced by our own strength, by our own willpower. I'm going to invite you, if you're able to stand for the reading of today's Word of God. Would you stand with me, please, if you're able? So I'm going to go to some different texts here and there, but I do want to read Galatians 5:22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Amen. That's the word of the Lord. Have a seat. Like I said, this morning I am focusing on gentleness. And man, it's amazing how God puts the right message with the right person. Because as I was preparing for this, God's reminding me that I need to be gentle. I need to be gentle. I'm human, but I still have a responsibility to be gentle. So God knows what he's doing. And I also publicly want to thank Soraya. I think she's downstairs this morning. Pastor Danny had challenged us elders to read through the Bible this year, 2025. And recently I went through a 2-week period of just grind it out at work. And I was trying to stay disciplined in reading my word. And I forgot to do some of that deeper prep. I was just trying to get through it. And Soraya said, hey, remember when we're studying the Bible, one of the practices she has is to go and look up who the author was. And at this time, I was just coming up on the prophet Amos. And as I was reading through some of the description and what God was up to with Amos, it said Amos had to do this, that, and the other because he was going to preach a hard word to the nation of Israel. And he wanted Amos to experience exactly what he was going to be preaching. Wow. What an amazing thing. God brought me this message on gentleness to remind me, Julian, you need to preach to yourself first before you preach to everyone else. So, amen. So let me just see if I can develop this message for us. We just read in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and that was out of the New Living Translation. But I'd like to go to different translations of the Bible. And one of them is called The Message by Eugene Patterson. It's actually a paraphrase, but that's neither here nor there. Let me read it again in this version. What happens when we live God's way? He brings gifts into our lives. Much the same way fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. We develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that basic holiness permeates things and people. We find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way into life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Man, as I sat meditating on this, what jumped out at me was that second sentence. He brings gifts into our lives. This isn't something I'm going to generate. I can't generate it. I'm human. If I try to generate, my power is going to end at some time, right? He generates. He brings these gifts into our lives. And then I think it's the third sentence. It begins, we develop a willingness. I was looking at that when I meditated on that as well. Is that really true? We develop a willingness to stick with things? Again, how does that make sense to me? How can that make sense to us if we're not generating? I think this is more like an observation. He does it, we develop it. It's natural. Does that make sense? Yeah. Again, focusing on the word gentleness. Gentleness, that's one of God's attributes, one of his characteristics. That's who he is. There's a man named Morris, and he wrote a commentary. And as I read deeper and deeper and studied, Moore said this about gentleness. He said, it's important for the Christian to see that the self-assertiveness that is so much a part of this modern culture should not be valued. It's much better that each of us curtails the desire to be preeminent and exercises the proper meekness or gentleness. Man. How does this strike us? How does this strike you? Especially in today's context. You know? Let me define the word preeminent. Preeminent comes along with the idea of being first. I've got to look out for number one. And maybe that's what the devil's whispering into our ears, right? Because he definitely is opposing God. But we're called to be gentle or meek. What is that all about? Meek is the word with an M, not weak with a W. So, what is meekness? Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is actually strength under control. Strength under control. So I was thinking about how to flesh this out. When I was a little boy, I can remember my mother taking me downtown. I don't know how old I was, 9 or 8. But I saw a horse for the first time. It was a parade, and the police were mounted, some of the police were mounted on these horses. and I was amazed to see how big these horses are. How many like horses? Yeah, right? I'd never seen one up close. I could see its muscles on its, I don't know, what do you call it? Is that their chest that's up here at the top of their legs? And I could see how strong the muscles are in its neck. Horses are strong. They're powerful. But they also have that bit in their mouth, right? Controlled by the officer, whoever's riding it. And that's a picture I think God gave me of strength under control. Strength under control. We're called to be meek. We're called to be gentle. What does that look like? Again, I mentioned that gentleness is one of God's characteristics. God is gentle. He's gentle with me. He can be stern with me. But he's also very gentle with me. And I think the picture that I that came to my mind as I was praying, God reminded me of a book that I read many, many years ago called Man of Steel and Velvet. And it was a book on masculinity. And it talked about Jesus, how he was a man of steel and velvet. And the author's point was, you know what? Jesus was a man of steel, meaning he was determined. Jesus knew that God the Father had sent him to go to the cross for us. He didn't let anything stop him from his mission. But also, Jesus was a man of velvet. He was a man of strength, right? God is all, he's God the Son. He's the second person of the Trinity. He has all the attributes of God, strong and powerful, yet he was under control. And one of the points that the author brought out in that book, he says, you know what? No woman, no child was ever afraid to come to Jesus, was he? He was gentle. He was gentle. When I was looking for a reference to Jesus's strength under control, I looked up the story of Malchus. Does anybody remember Malchus? I can give you a brief word. Jesus spent hours in the Garden of Gethsemane because he was getting ready to be persecuted and eventually crucified, right? Then the Roman soldiers came to arrest him. Malchus was that Roman soldier who had his ear cut off. Remember? Yeah. How did that happen? How did his ear get cut off? Well, I'll tell you what I think. I heard a teacher once say, Peter swung that sword. And I think he swung that sword like it was Babe Ruth's bat. That's what I think happened. And Malchus was standing there, and he went like this, right, to avoid that sword. Cut off his ear. Peter was much like me. A little over-exuberant, a little out of control sometime. Peter came around, right? But Jesus reminded Peter, he said, put away your sword. Don't you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? Jesus was fully man, but also fully God. He knew he had the power and the authority to call 12 legions of angels. I had to look that up. What's a legion? A Roman legion at that time was 5,200 men. That's over 60,000 warrior angels that Jesus could have called upon. Yeah, right? That's power. But Jesus had his power under control. I want to develop that a little bit more. So even though Jesus was powerful, even though we might feel at times powerful, we're called to be different. We're called to be gentle or meek. Not weak, meek. Another Bible commentator, Barclay, said this about gentleness. He said, the fruit of the Spirit is gentle. And this word has the idea of being teachable, not having a superior attitude or demanding one's rights. It isn't timidity or passivity, but it has the quality of a man who's always angry at the right time and never wrong, never angry at the wrong time. Again, Jesus was powerful. How many of us remember the story of Jesus going to the temple and getting angry and flipping over the tables, right? That was the appropriate response at the appropriate time, right? But we never see any examples of Jesus making a mountain out of a molehill, right? Yeah. So I like that Barclay developed that out. Let me read it again. It has the quality of a man who's always angry at the right time, but never at the wrong time. But also he said it's the idea of being teachable. Teachable. What is that all about? I was telling my friend Barb I went to the Cubs game yesterday. Cubs Sox game. Yeah, right? I was wore my Cubs shirt today, but I said, no, I'll take it easy on my White Sox fans, my brothers in Christ. So, yeah, you're welcome. Man, it was fun. It was fun. I was talking to some of these guys who I sat right next to this guy who was a little bit older than me. And we were able to talk Cubs, old Cubs. And I was thinking about this as I was developing this message. Especially it struck me when I read that about gentleness means you can be angry at the right time, or excuse me, teachable, not so much angry. There were, I think it was 1985, right after the Cubs won the division in 84, they brought up a young shortstop named Sean Dunston. Who's old enough to remember Sean Dunston? There you go. Shawanometer, there you go. Sean was a talent. It's a raw talent. He could run, he could hit, he had muscles on top of muscles. But I can remember an interview that one of his coaches gave. One of his coaches and later his manager was named Don Zimmer. Don Zimmer. I love Don Zimmer. Yeah, his nickname was Popeye, a little short guy. I think it was like 5'7 or 5'8. Don was a coach in 1985 when Sean came up. And I think it was Jack Britt. Somebody was interviewing Don and said, hey, did you ever work with Sean Dunston? And he gave this answer that was like, no, not really. Sean was not teachable. Sean was not teachable. If he had recognized that maybe Don Zimmer didn't look like much in 1984, but Don Zimmer actually played with the Brooklyn Dodgers in the 50s. The middle 50s. He was playing with guys like Pee Wee Reese, Duke Snyder. I'm like, man, why wouldn't you take advice from heart, attitude? Dunston had a long career and wound up playing for the Cubs, I don't know, 10, 12, 14 years. Went on to San Francisco, and then he finished his career with St. Louis. And at the end of his career, I finally saw Dunston be teachable. Man. The question I have for myself is, Julian, are you teachable? Am I humble? And there's another story I want to share about another guy who, I think his name was Marshall, played a few years later. He came up as a rookie in like 88 or 89. I think he was a left-handed pitcher. I tried looking him up, but the point is this. He came up same season Kerry Wood came up. Kerry Wood was a beast. One time he struck out, as I don't know if it was his second or third year, he struck out 19 batters. 20. Okay, thank you. Thank you. That's an amazing feat. If you strike out 10 batters in a game, that's considered good. He struck out 20. And Kerry Wood threw out his arm about 2 years later. Never was the same. I remember seeing another interview with Mike Marshall, and somebody asked him what he likes most about being with the Cubs. He goes, man, I could sit on the bench and pick the brain of Greg Maddux. Greg Maddux turned out to have a long, prosperous career. He was not the biggest, he was not the tallest, he was not the fastest, but boy, he got a lot out of his talent. I'll tell you what, Mike Marshall was teachable. Mike Marshall was teachable. So when I saw this comment on, let me bring it back to the Bible. I enjoy talking baseball, but yeah. Barclay's commentary talked about that word gentle. And he said, the idea is more about being teachable. And I had to ask myself, am I teachable? Are we teachable? And I'm not necessarily talking about here on Sunday mornings. This is good. I'm glad that you're all paying attention and we're absorbing things. Or I'm not talking about Wednesday nights. There's been great participation. There's a lot of learning. But this is not the idea of teachable in this context. What Barclay said, teachable here is, gentle here is being teachable. And I'm talking about, are you teachable when a brother or sister pulls you aside for a one-on-one conversation? You know what I mean? I've had people pull me over recently, as a matter of fact, for a one-on-one conversation. And I have to ask myself, am I teachable? Man, I have to watch myself because I do serve as an elder. It would be very easy for me to say, bro, you don't know what you're talking about. I can justify myself, defend myself. But that's not what it's about. I need to exercise what happens in first what's quoted in 1 Thessalonians 5, I think it's 19, it might be 20. But there it says, do not despise prophecy. Consider it all. Retain what is good and set aside what is evil. What does that mean? Prophecy is a word for me. So if someone wants to pull me aside and say, hey, Julian, I noticed this. I have a question about that. I want to remain humble. I want to remain teachable. I want to remain gentle. It happened recently. I don't want to defend myself. I might explain, give further context, but I don't want to get defensive because I don't think that's the Christian life. I don't think that's evident of the Holy Spirit. Typically what I'll do, and this is hard for me to say because I don't want to come across like I'm bragging, but I want to say to whoever, the brother, the sister, whoever, thank you. I'll do better. I remember recently I said, thank you. I'll try and do, and I caught myself. I said, you know what, let me remove that word try. Like God, we want to be gentle. I want to be gentle. And I remember I didn't see this coming. When this brother pulled me aside, my response, I thank God, because I think that's evidence of the Holy Spirit at work in my life. Thank you for allowing me to be transparent with that, but I also want to remember that there are two sides to every coin. And there's two sides to this coin. Just like I want to be gentle when someone comes to me and says, hey, Julian, I have a question. Or I saw this, I saw that. I also want to remember that Jesus is gentle. God is gentle. Sometimes when I'm praying for someone, I said, Lord, in your gentleness, would you bring this person from here to here? Would you move them along? I believe that's one of God's characteristics. Again, I have the honor and the privilege, the responsibility to serve as an elder. If I'm going to have one of those one-on-one conversation with someone, I want to be gentle. And that's not something that, again, I produce on my own. It comes naturally from spending time with God. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So being gentle. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up. And I want to remind us that being gentle is one of God's characteristics. It's one of his character traits. And we want to be gentle. Whether it's gentle with a brother or a sister, or whether it's being teachable, being humble. I'm going to ask, if we're able, to stand to our feet. I want to ask, are we teachable? Are we gentle? Are you gentle? Are you teachable? I'm going to give us an opportunity to come forward and do business with God. If you've had to have one of those one-on-one conversations, I want to ask. I need to ask myself, do I do it in love? Have I done it in love? Is there room for improvement? Do I need to repent? Do I need to make spending time with God more of a priority? I've had to do that. Friday, a woman came to Sub Recovery. And being the leader, her being a newcomer, I wanted to have a one-on-one conversation with her, welcome her, kind of let things. She said, you know, before we begin, I want to tell you, I got this word from God, and I don't know who it's for, but let me just speak it. And I said to her, thank you. Thank you. That word might be for me. So just like I said earlier, I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to me. In a moment, thank you, worship team, I want to open up this altar. If anyone wants to come forward, do business with God, I want to invite us to do that. We'll have space, we'll have time, we'll have someone. I would love to pray with you. I would like to ask other leaders, our pastor, to pray for you. Also, I want to ask someone to come forward, anyone, if you'd like to do work, business with God in another way. If you say to God, God, I don't understand what's going on. I don't have a complete picture. What's different about these people? What do they have that I don't have? If that's you, if God is stirring in your heart, I would ask you to come forward as well. So, Holy Spirit, thank you for being here. Thank you for your work. Lord, I just ask you to continue to carry us through this morning, Lord God. Be with those who may be feeling a gentle nudge from you to come forward, Lord God. Be with us corporately, Lord God, and be with us individually. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good, because I was going to do it anyway. So Isaiah 49 through 11. I'm actually going to ask that you would close your eyes and that you would meditate on this word. And I'm going to read it slowly. Here's what it says. O Zion, messenger of good news, shout from the mountaintops. Shout it louder, O Jerusalem. Shout and do not be afraid. Tell the towns of Judah, your God is coming. Yes, the Lord, the sovereign Lord, is coming in power. He will rule with a powerful arm. See, he brings his reward with him as he comes. And here's the beautiful nature of the gentle God that we serve. Verse 11. He will feed his flock like a shepherd. He will carry the lambs in his arms, holding them closely to his heart. He will gently lead the mother sheep with their young. Do not allow yourself to fall into the hands of this world. If you're going to fall into the hands of a loving, gentle God. Many of you have fallen backward way too many times. Fall forward. Fall forward and swing, trying and say, God, you know what? I don't understand this, but if you have called me to it, I will respond. Father, I pray a blessing over every person that is represented in this room this morning, Lord God. Lord, I pray a blessing over those that are represented in extension of their families as well, Lord, in this place, God. Father, thank you that in your mercies and in your grace, you have been gentle to us, Lord God. Father, we have gone through some things. We have seen some things. We have experienced some things in this life, God. But the hope that we have is in the eternal hope in Jesus Christ, in that you are coming back again one day for us, Lord God. And not weak, but with a powerful arm, as your word says in Isaiah, God. Because you are strong and mighty. You are as ferocious as a lion, but you are as gentle as a lamb. And so, God, I pray, Lord, your grace would be upon everybody's life represented here, Lord God, that you would begin to heal the things of their past, Lord God, so that they can stand on solid ground today, knowing that you are for us and not against us. God, thank you for the work that you are doing in this place. Thank you for the word that went forth this morning, Lord God, because it is so important to be reminded, Father, that in a world that is so chaotic and broken and harsh and dog-eat-dog mentality, Lord God, you are still gentle. And so, Father, how much more should we be gentle with one another? God, thank you for the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. But, Lord, we are called to be meek as Jesus has been meek as well. We are called to be strong, but to be, Lord God, controlling of that strength, Lord God. Holy Spirit, help us to live the life that you have called us to be living proof of the God that we serve. Lord, we thank you for all of these things in advance. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen and amen. I know I just prayed. Let me pray over you. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before his presence with exceeding great joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be honor and power and dominion both now and forevermore. And may the face of God shine on you. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ enable you. And may the presence of the Holy Spirit both be in you and with you, that he may lead you into all the truth so that you may know him and make him known. I pronounce this blessing on you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, and the church said, amen. Hey, God.